Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest has spent years as a location-independent entrepreneur and freelancer. She has lived in Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines, and has also traveled through many other Southeast Asian, North American, and European countries. She has worked for over a decade creating compelling content and writing for various businesses and publications. She is currently the founder of the writing community Craft Your Content. She is also in the process of writing her own epic life story and helping other people to do the same. Now, let's hack Alyssa Doucette. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks. More than just a sponsor, FreshBooks plays a huge role in keeping me and my business organized and profitable. And this is really, really obvious to me now, having just gone through another year end. Usually the end of the year would be an incredible headache for me and my accountant, but not this year. Now, rather than handing my accountant a giant box of papers and receipts, I simply email her my reports, journal entries, and it's not only easier, but it's way more cost-effective than paying her to sort through it herself. The best part was that it was so easy to learn how to use, and whenever I've had an issue, their support team is awesome. They're voted the number one customer support team in the world. With FreshBooks support, help is forever free, and I get to speak to a real, live human every single time. Try FreshBooks for free today and for 30 days with no obligation. Setup only takes a minute, no credit card is required, and you can cancel at any time. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section when signing up. All right, we are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and we have another amazing guest. Alyssa, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
I got that right?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, Alyssa, let's jump into it. As an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you feel you do that has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I learned a long time ago, this really cool kind of quote saying that stuck with me. It's misattributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson a lot, but the kind of concise version of the quote was, to help even one life breathe easier because you've lived, this is to have succeeded. And that very, very quickly became kind of the mantra for all of my entrepreneurial and business dealings. That basically any clients that I worked with, any audience that I was writing for, basically anyone that my business was impacting, I wanted to make sure that I was making their life easier and making it easier for them to breathe and easier for them to do the things that they were doing simply by offering what I had. And that's always been my guiding principle. And it's really what's added to a lot of my success. A lot of my clients, a lot of my readers, a lot of my audience kind of looks to me to be the person that is a great resource for them, can help them spitball ideas and do kind of big picture visionary thinking, can jump down in the ditches with them and grab a shovel if need be. That's how I've built my business, and that's how most of my people see me, which is exactly how I always wanted it to be.
Excellent. So making people breathe easier, and does that have to do with, say in your writing, would that have to do with honesty, or would that have to do with technically like how to do this and make your life easier? How do you think you approach that? Or is it kind of both?
Yeah, it depends a lot on what I'm writing on, whatever the topic is and what the audience is for it. A lot of my writing, I tend to be very kind of clear and direct. I like to give actionable types of things or things that people are really going to be able to think on. I like to approach my writing in ways that is going to always improve people's lives. I used to do a lot more philosophical writing. Mm-hmm. And while I enjoy thinking a lot, I kind of found very quickly that it wasn't the type of writing that I like to do. And a lot of journalistic kind of removed from the whole situation, just reporting the facts, is also not something I enjoy doing very much. I enjoy instead kind of doing things that are going to asking questions and writing statements and getting into thoughts and ideas that people are really going to sit and chew on. And at the end result, it's going to somehow improve their lives, either through the actionable steps or through the thought process that the article will encourage them to go through.
I like it. And so I like how you kind of, you've sort of like evolved, I guess, as you're writing, not just what you like to do, but also kind of what relates. But how, I'm interested to know how long it took you to be able to be fully Alyssa when you write, not be afraid to completely curse, completely be open with people. That's a real struggle people go through. We all know that we need kind of transparency. We need to be just authentic in what we do, but it's really hard. And it doesn't seem like it should be hard, right? You're just being yourself. But was that a struggle for you? Or was there a way that you figured out how to do that?
Yeah, it's definitely was a struggle, is a struggle, continues to be a struggle. I find very few, I write, work with a lot of writers, either as clients or just as peers. And I frequently on, you know, on my own podcast where I talk to writers, we all talk about the same thing, that we all still struggle sometimes being terrified to hit publish on a post or put our thoughts out there, which in my mind means that you're doing something right. If you are posting stuff that you're not terrified to hit publish on, then it means you're not really pushing boundaries and you're not really introducing new ideas into the world. You're just regurgitating things. And I feel like the internet is a whole cesspool of regurgitation. The quality of content and the way that people are kind of putting out these listicle posts or just very straightforward fact posts or whatnot, I don't think that's doing anything to, one, really show how phenomenal they are and their businesses can be. And two, it's not really doing anything to bring up the quality of reading and thought on the internet. That being said, I do spend probably too fair amount of time down the BuzzFeed rabbit hole. So.
Oh, I try and avoid that so much.
But for me, it was...
I do, it's hard.
Oh, it's so hard. And they have the sidebar and it just sucks you anyway.
I feel like I'm just getting dumber as I read it. Like I can just feel myself, like I walk away half hour later, like, wow, I actually feel just dumber, just straight up dumber for having done that. But
right,
it's still...
I usually, once I've like gone for BuzzFeed for a while, I feel like I need to go outside and take a walk or like go to the gym or something to like do something now productive with my life. Cause similar to you, I can't then immediately jump into like writing or something because my brain just is not synapsing fast enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brilliant business model for BuzzFeed, but for everyone that like consumes their stuff, I don't think that it's a benefit.
Yeah.
But they know that they can get you with, it's unbelievable what they've done. But
I am a big fan of brain candy, you know, kind of doing some stuff sometimes that you can just zone out and kind of come down to a lower level rather than being like going at all gears all the time. But I think that unless that is your business model, like BuzzFeed, then you really should be kind of writing stuff and putting out thoughts and ideas that do push envelopes and really establish you as someone who should be a leader in their industry, someone who should be looked to for their opinions and for their thoughts and who should be emulated by other people, either looking to hire in that industry or other peers. For me, it's been a long time. I've been writing professionally for about 15 years at this point. And then obviously before that, being a writer, you'll hear from many writers. I was, of course, like the bookish kid in grade school and high school that constantly was writing and had journals and constantly, you know, new little books that my mom like has saved in a box somewhere. But I was really fortunate in high school. I was a massively awkward, geekish person. So So I had a lot of, I was kind of one of those under the radar people. It's not like people disliked me. I wasn't, you know, getting shoved in lockers or anything that severe, but people really didn't understand me and I didn't understand them. I had very few like really close friends. Most people are just like, oh yeah, like Alyssa, she's over there. She's nice. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. And whenever I would actually sit down and be able to start interacting and talking with people, they would, you know, be pointing out that I used a vocabulary that was just far, far ahead of any like 16-year-old person. I don't think 16-year-olds should use the word plethora constantly.
I don't think anybody should use the word plethora constantly. sorry.
But the unfortunate thing is I do. It's one of my favorite words. I probably throw it out at least once a day. So I kind of lived in this very intellectual place for me. Even being a writer and being creative and that sort of thing, my go-to comfort zone is really being rational and analytical and in a very thought-based world. And a lot of people don't know how to deal with that and don't know how to deal with me. And I don't know how to deal with a lot of people. So I've actually probably toned down how awkward I am over the past 15 to 20 years, because fortunately in that amount of time, I've realize that shockingly, the world is made up of other people, and to be able to excel as an entrepreneur who writes for them and works with them and deals with them, you have to be able to interact with them on a kind of human level.
And yeah, exactly. So I guess you found it easier to connect with people through writing than you did face to face?
Yeah, I definitely do not do as well face to face, kind of on point, similar to what I'm saying right now as I stumble and try to find words. Yeah. It's definitely not my forte. I like to be able to, again, get into that intellectual thought space and really think out what I'm trying to say, how I want to say it, and do that eloquently. Otherwise, I just end up throwing around words like plethora, and then everyone thinks that I'm like the weird kid that throws around words like plethora.
A big part of the online entrepreneur or business like market, though, is made up of people who are very similar to how you were. We're all a bunch of weird nerds that like found out how to make money online and like work by ourselves. I really do think that. It looks like some of us can look cool from the outside from afar, but then you get us into a room together and it's, I don't know, we have to like drink too much wine or something, or just to like deal with each other. And then it just falls apart and it's weird. I don't think you're not that I don't want to say I don't think you're unique in that way, because you are. But you know what I mean? I think that you actually probably fit in really well into this whole arena of online entrepreneurship, because I don't know, if we really craved just being around people all the time, we'd all want to work in offices and just love like standing around the coffee machine and just chatting with people, right? But we all kind of don't like that. And we kind of freak out about it, or lots of us, I think, because I know I had this conversation with a lot of people in this, and especially then people trying to get into it, they're like, well, can I be like a complete introvert and then do that? It's like, well, yeah, it's kind of perfect for that, right? You can write by yourself. You can podcast alone and just put it out there, right? And you still got to hit publish, but you can kind of do it yourself at the time, right? Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, well, and the communication is really kind of what you control, the tempo and how often it happens, because you only have to reply to someone when you get the opportunity to sit in front of your computer and reply to them. Wherein in person, when someone asks you a question, if you're staring at them, it's rather awkward to not respond,
right?
For all parties concerned. But it's kind of online, it's a little bit, you know, if someone sends you an email or someone, you know, sends you a message on Facebook or Twitter or through your company website, it's very rarely expected unless you're, you know, in a specific customer service facing position that you are going to respond, you know, immediately on something. If it's more of a conversational, more of a question, that sort of thing, you know, you do have the time to kind of sit back and think what you want to say before you have to immediately reply and figure out how to say it.
Right. And then further, even that, like you publish something and some troll comes out and starts bad-mouthing you and talking total shit about you, you don't have to deal with it face to face. You don't have to ever even, to me, it makes it easier to publish, because it's not like, even like getting up and speaking in front of people is harder because it's more direct. The interaction is right there. And if somebody doesn't like it, you could maybe know that right away. But with publishing something. You don't have to deal with that stuff if you don't want to right now or even at any point. You can just ignore it or you can take it face on when you are ready for it, which is, I think, really, really powerful and helpful to people. Like
you. Yeah, I think anytime you're putting like your writing and your ideas, the, you know, back to the unfortunate cesspool that the internet can be sometimes, I find that another great source of the cesspooliness is any comment section on any website.
Yeah.
They can be phenomenal for great conversations and kind of expanding on the thoughts and ideas of the articles and what you're trying to relay for your business. But it can also be a way I have within my own company to my employees and whatnot. I have a don't feed the trolls policy. Basically, if someone kind of comes out with that, I either will take the issue on personally and try to get it off of the public facing site or just ignore them. Because generally, it's kind of like a child who throws a temper tantrum when they're 3 or 4 years old, you know. They're doing it to try to get attention. So the more attention you give them, the more they're going to continue doing that.
Yep, absolutely agree.
So although it is painful, you know, the first couple times you're in a restaurant and the kid throws himself on the floor flailing, it's a little embarrassing as you're trying to, you know, cut your chicken or whatnot. And of course, everyone else in the restaurant despises you, but trying to figure out how to kind of gracefully navigate those situations online of the public kind of retribution is... it's an interesting one to navigate.
I agree. And it's something we all have to, I think it's good to come to terms with it even before you hit publish, because it is going to come. And the idea of it coming, I think, actually shows a certain level of success, because now you're at least being noticed by the trolls.
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely.
Okay, Alyssa, let's move to work. You are one of these digital nomads.
Yes.
A lot of the time. You love to travel and work from wherever it is you are traveling. So this should be interesting. How... in work, today's a work day, you are wherever you happen to be. How do you spend, say, the first 30 minutes or 60 minutes of your day to kind of, from waking up to kind of setting yourself up to prioritize and get the things done that you need to get done?
Yeah, the first thing I do when I wake up is I immediately go out to the kitchen and grab a glass of water and drink it. It's a very... for me, it's a very natural thing. I've started seeing it pop up on a lot of websites. It's something I really think that people who want to kind of be successful throughout their day should really embrace. There's a lot of benefits to it. Most importantly, you have been laying in bed in a sleeping state for at least like 4 to 6 to 8 hours, not hydrating yourself. So you immediately need to get hydration back into your body to be able to function in any semblance of an intelligent way first thing in the morning, which I then immediately follow up with my drink of choice, which is making myself a pot of coffee, nice. Which immediately undoes all the hydration I just did, which is probably part of why it's so important to me to do it. And then I usually will do some like yoga and meditation to kind of get into my day. And then the first thing I do when I get online, it's usually 30 minutes or so after I wake up, is I'm someone, because I am a digital nomad and because I am, one, constantly across time zones myself, and two, constantly dealing with clients that are across time zones, is I check my email. I know it's a horrible thing. So many people will say that it's not the correct thing to do first thing in the morning, checking your email. But for me, there could be a customer problem that's been sitting there for 10 or 12 hours from the last time I checked my email. And I, again, going back to wanting to make people's lives easier, make them be able to breathe easier, because I'm a partner in their business. I don't want to make them have to wait to try to get something fixed that could be answered very simply. I very frequently keep my inbox at less than 10 items. I have a very strict system of read, archive, reply, delete. So basically, I don't like to touch any email that comes into my inbox more than once. And it's the truth is, most emails that come into your inbox, you know exactly what you need to do with it. You need to either forward it on to a member of your team to be able to take care of, because that's their specific delegated responsibility. You need to reply quickly with what the answer is, or you need to go and research it a little bit longer and then reply to it after you've researched it. Or archive, delete it if it's not something that's going to need your immediate response or attention.
Yeah. So, okay, a couple things. Drinking a glass of water first thing in the morning, I'm blown away that people can even write blog posts about that and that that isn't just something everybody does, because it's something I've always done. I literally straight from my bed, straight to the tap and a full glass of water.
Exactly.
And I'm like thirsty when I do it, right? It's just, it's weird. I don't know how people like write blog posts like, you should drink, like, what else do you do in the morning? Like, you wait till lunchtime to drink a glass of water? Like, it's so weird. Especially because then I followed up with coffee, like immediately, like it's almost like right after it. And I need that water first. Then checking your email. So you said you felt guilty for it, but I just need to tell you, I've now interviewed like 80 something brilliant entrepreneurs. And there's only two of them that don't check their email first thing in the morning. Every single other one almost even checks it while in bed on their phone still. And they all apologize to me right before they say
Well, it's this thing, people, there's this whole like stigma I feel around checking your email and being captive to the messages coming in and having them dictate your schedule. And for me, checking it first thing in the morning and kind of running it so very, very tight-nosed and analytically helps me manage my schedule. I would rather check my email, get everything that could be a problem squared away first thing in the morning. So I don't have to even look at it again until later in the afternoon when I check my email. I use a program called Inbox Pause. And so I actually only get email delivered to me 3 times a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically I just check my email approximately every 8 hours.
My inbox
and jump in.
My inbox is insane. And I need to find a way to get a hold of this. I have an assistant now and she has access to my inbox and she's scared to go in it. She said, like, I'm at like inbox 3,900 and something right now. And it's just, it's so not systematic. I use Boomerang. I use like so many different things and archiving, like to get rid of stuff, but still it just builds up and it's insane. And she's literally just like, I can't go in there. I don't know what to touch, what not to touch. I don't know how to find stuff from yesterday. Cause it's like behind 100 emails now. And I'm like, yeah. So I actually was asking her, like, do you know how, like, could you sort out an inbox? She's like, I could delete everything. Well, not quite what I was looking for, but.
It was not exactly. I've talked to a few people before that have a very similar problem. They have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of emails in their inbox. And usually what I recommend at this point in time is just like going, you know, past the first like 50. And just archiving. Like if you haven't responded to them yet.
Totally.
And you have emails from like 6 months ago, just get them out of your inbox and really focus on the most recent 30 days or whatever. I also use Boomerang and I also use canned responses. I get a lot of the same questions in email because I am a female digital nomad entrepreneur. There's a lot of people and I write very publicly about it. There's a lot of people who will email me asking questions about how do I do what you do? How do I become a writer? How do I travel the world as a single female? And I just have canned responses that basically I get the same question again and again. So I have a little paragraph that I can drop into an email after I've written them a personal note and be like, here's, you know, all of the information that I have about being a solo female traveler. Here's a couple of my articles. Here's a couple of great resources, a couple of links of other people. This should help you out. Best of luck.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's kind of one of those things that it systematizes. It very quickly gives me the ability to be able to help people out, to give them good information, to be able to give them what they're asking for without it having to be a huge spend of my time and resources, typing out responses and all of that stuff. I do still personally respond at the beginning to any, you know, unique questions, to address them personally. I don't just, you know, throw in a canned response and call it a day. I do read every email that comes into my inbox, but that just kind of helps me more quickly sort through them.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually use a separate email address for any newsletters that I sign up for, any programs or different things like that. And I only read them once a week.
Also smart. I just kind of get off all the ones
that
don't really need to be on at all.
Ends up being a lot easier, I find, to just keep them in that separate space than gunking up my inbox. Because I do like reading resources and other things from other people. It helps me build my own market intelligence, but...
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to projects quickly.
Yeah.
Could you tell me about a project or accomplishment that you consider to be your most significant so far in your career?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's awkward.
No, it's cool. What were you super...
I don't think that I've hit my most successful yet.
No, but like, what's the... Was there something where... I kind of picture like careers as like you kind of go to plateaus and like you reach up and then you finally you get to another one. It's like, oh, now you look back and like a year ago, it's like, whoa, I don't write like that. I don't work with those kind of people. Like, you know what I mean? There's something that you did. Like, did you get published somewhere? Did you work for somebody? And then it kind of you get to a whole new tier of business or life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably, I don't know if it's the what would be considered my most successful. I worked for an extremely long time as an independent contractor with the guys over at Tropical MBA and Dynamite Circle.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. I was their managing editor for about 3 years.
Wow.
And that one is probably the most significant to me because one, they're an amazing team and they do great things kind of helping people get out of the mindset that they, you know, can't be digital nomads and that they really solve this kind of loneliness that comes when you're traveling the world and it's just you and your laptop. It can be really easy to kind of shut yourself in from any type of interaction. And as an extremely introverted person, I love that most days, but eventually it does get to the point where you want to talk to like-minded people and you want to be able to kind of have that support system. And so I really was very thankful to be able to work with them on building up their community and content and everything. And the most important thing was they were the first ones to kind of get me on the road. They were based out of Bali, Indonesia for a significant amount of time. So when I first started working with them, it just made more sense to be in the same location that they were. So I flew out to Bali and lived in a villa that they had contracted for about 6 months. And basically, as soon as that happened, I haven't been home since.
Nice. I didn't mean to put you on the spot so much, but I would have been shocked if that maybe wasn't your answer. I liked that you've done that for years and you've probably learned so much because those guys are amazing. They do amazing things. Their podcast is one of the only podcasts I still listen to at a regular basis. And that's cool. And you worked with them for a long time, probably learned a lot, probably got to teach them a lot. So that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a very interesting. It's also, I tell people frequently, it's probably my greatest success and my greatest failure in that I basically, because they became my anchor client who I worked with the majority of the time, I thus neglected a lot of my own business. I had a number of clients that I still worked with independently and that I had my team work with. We provide editing and content type services for businesses. So I still worked with people on the side, but I really focused on building up their business instead of focusing on continuing to build mine. So as soon as I decided to end my contract with them very amicably, but in my contract with them, it ended up being that I all of a sudden was like, oh, crap, like my business is now back to where it was 3 years ago.
Right. Except you have the knowledge and the skills now built up. Right. So,
yeah,
I'm sure it helped a lot. But yeah, those are.
Oh, it's absolutely. That's why I said it's absolutely probably my best experience of work thus far.
Awesome. See, now, like 5 minutes later, you totally know the answer. It's great. Now you're like, that's the best one. That's of course it. Well, at first you're like, what?
It's interesting because it didn't necessarily make me successful. You're right. I learned so much from them. I like to think that they learned a lot from me as well.
Exactly. No, I'm sure they did.
You know, but it's at the end of the day, like their business got built up, which is exactly what I came on for and why I am so proud of the work that I did with them. But it didn't necessarily impact me.
Right. But it's an accomplishment. So
yeah.
That's cool. Okay. So success in the future will end with, we're sitting here at the beginning of a new year. And you have,
yes.
You are kind of in a new place for your business now as going completely on your own without your main anchor client. What is it you want to accomplish this year, Alyssa, to do big things?
Yeah, this year I'm rebuilding a bit of my client roster. Fortunately, before I did work with the guys in Tropical MBA, I did own my own business for 2 years prior, doing writing and content services for businesses. So I'm fortunate in that I have built enough of a roster that I can be picky with who I work with. I really just love working with people who kind of, going back to what we were talking about before, want to put out you know, great content that is really unique and about their thoughts and their ideas and how they would like to impact the businesses and the world that they're in. And those are the people that I love working with. So I'm building out my roster a bit more of that so that my team can work with just some really exceptional type of clients, which is the type of people that I've become conditioned to working with. And then we also, my big project this year is twofold. And that is one, trying to get a lot more books out from myself and from my team on various things about content and about writing and really being able to kind of do that sort of thing and getting more publishing done and really entering into that world. And then we also have a community where we work with, again, these kind of exceptional writers and thinkers who want to improve the quality of what they're doing. So we have a community that we actually work with people within the community to help them do that.
Oh, I love it. It's going to be a good year for you, and I look forward to watching it.
Thank you.
Kid, we've talked a lot about you and your business just in passing. Can you leave everybody and tell them specifically where to find out more about you?
Yeah, the two sites. My site personally is elissadusat.com. It's super confusing. My name, it's ElissaDusette.com. The easiest way to be able to find that site and my business is just simply going to the business site, which is craftyourcontent.com. And then also you can find me on, usually easiest social media network to find me on is Twitter. I respond pretty quickly to anything on Twitter, and that's at Elissa Doucette.
Very cool. I'll link to Elissa Doucette and Craft Your Content and your Twitter on the show notes for everyone. So it's super easy to find you because I think people should reach out. So Elissa, thank you so much for taking the time to just chat with me today. I really, truly appreciate it. And I look forward to watching some big things from you.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to putting out some big things for you to watch.
Awesome. Elissa, thank you so much for stopping by. That was a lot of fun. And thanks for sharing so much about the Tropical MBA and what they did with like Dynamite Circle. I absolutely respect Dan and them over there and what they've done and what they continue to do is great, great stuff. But it's a weird thing that you deal with, right? As a freelancer, because you can devote yourself so much to a client and so much to all of your clients that there's this huge always discussion of a freelancer is a freelancer, an entrepreneur. Some people will say yes. Some people will say no, because you're strictly working for another person's business. You're not really building up your own business, which you say that you also dealt with. You learned a lot, so you get to take that over now to your business. But you've now made that transition into a full-on entrepreneur, and that's a hard transition to make unless some people really just kind of make it, and they really never go into freelance because they know that it's hard to break out of once you get into it. So that's an impressive transformation that you've done, and it's really, really cool, that transition. So thank you so much for sharing about that. Elissa talks about a lot of interesting things, lots of travel, her introversion, everything, right? But she says one thing. She said it. She said that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
When you're traveling the world and it's just you and your laptop, it can be really easy to kind of shut yourself in from any type of interaction. And as an extremely introverted person, I love that most days. But eventually it does get to the point where you want to talk to like-minded people and you want to be able to kind of have that support system.
And that's the hack. Yes, Elissa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is such a point that needs to be made. And not like, even if you're listening and you're thinking, well, I'm never going to be a digital nomad. That's totally, totally fine. I've been nomadic in ways digitally, but I bring my family. It's a different thing. I'm traveling even with others, but I still, even when I'm doing that, I'm not surrounded by people thinking about business, thinking about just everything digitally and what we're going to do online, the content we're creating, the way we're going to promote it, the website design I'm working on, all this just pretty, pretty stupid stuff to most people in the world. Let's just be honest, right? But if you can surround yourself with like-minded people, So this is just a point I wanted to make, because I think this is absolutely, absolutely key. That you need to find these people. Even if you don't want to be nomadic, you still could be working at a job and you're not surrounded by people who are thinking in entrepreneurial ways, thinking of ways to build something cool and get themselves out of where they are now. And I think it's up to you to really find those people. And those people aren't that hard to find nowadays because we have the internet. You have Facebook private groups that you can join that are just, they're out there. You just have to kind of look and search for keywords in Facebook and you will find these. Like, just look for digital nomad if you want, or internet market. Well, maybe not internet marketing. You might get mixed up with the wrong people, but just, there's so many places. There really, really are. I mean, on Twitter, you can follow people that are interesting and then you can see who they follow and you can reach out to these people. You really can find, go to their bio on Twitter, go to their personal blog, reach out to these people. People just, we have a dire need to connect, and it's getting more and more so because although we're connected digitally, we get, like Alyssa says, like the introversion, it can kind of grow because we don't have to physically deal with people as much, but it also causes a need for connection. And so there are these communities starting. If there isn't a community starting around something that you're completely into, maybe you just stumbled on a great business. People want connection. Seth Godin says this is the connection economy, because if you can be in the middle of connecting thousands of people, you will do very, very, very well for yourself, because people are seeking connection. And I think that you should also seek connection the way Alyssa says it. So Alyssa, thank you so much for allowing me to agree with you and then go off on that tirade. I do appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you so much for stopping by. I hope you know how much I truly do appreciate it, because I really, really do. We got some really cool stuff coming down the line at Hack the Entrepreneur that I'm really excited to get out to you guys. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be cool. And that's just it. But hacktheentrepreneur.com, you should go check it out. It's my original site put up by my good friend, Nick Davis. nickdavis.co. If you need any WordPress work done, he is your man. Go check him out. And the site is being redesigned right now and put over to a new platform. And I think it's going to be really, really cool. It's going to be coming out, I think, in the next month. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. But go check out the great site I have up now. And as always, if you have not sent me an email, do it. JON@hacktheentrepreneur.com. Come straight to my phone or my laptop if I'm busy here working. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, hit me up. If you just want to tell me what you think of the show, hit me up too. Or if you have somebody that you would love to hear hacked on the show, do it. Hit me. I would love to hear it. Thank you so much. It really, really, really is absolutely, truly so awesome that you are out there. And I really, really do appreciate it. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.